Good morning. We're glad you have been able to tune in with us this Lord's Day morning as we come to worship the Lord, as we come to meet around His Word and to meditate upon it. My name is Raymond Morrow. I'm a fourth year Whitfield College student and I'm from our Auchnacloy congregation. And it's good to be able to join in with you in such a way as this, here even as representing Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. And to bring you God's word this morning. We are in strange days. We are meeting in our homes. We are meeting via the internet. But we do pray that the Lord will come and presence Himself with us this day. That we will know the power of the Holy Spirit even in our midst. That we would hear the voice of the Lord speaking to us. Even as we come around His word. Could you turn with me this morning, please, in your Bible to the book of the Psalms. We're going to look this morning at Psalm 77. The psalm is entitled To the Chief Musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. Psalm 77, and we'll begin at the first verse. And the word of God says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to my remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart. And my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favourable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail forevermore? God hath forgotten to be gracious. Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also all of thy works and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God, the waters saw thee, they were afraid, the depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water, the sky sent out a sound, thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven, and the lightnings lightened the world, the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Amen. And we do know that the Lord will bless the public reading of His own inspired word. With God's word open before us, let us come before the throne of grace and prayer and ask the Lord for His help in undertaking even as we meditate upon it this day. Let's pray. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again that we can come and gather together in Thy presence. Lord, we thank Thee for the return of the Sabbath, that one day in seven that You have set aside. Lord, that day in which we are called to come and to rest from the labours of life and to worship You. Lord, we thank Thee that even in such a time as this, Lord, in a situation that we find ourselves in, Lord, that we can, by the means of the internet, come and that we can gather together. And Lord, that we can meditate upon Thy word as Thy people. Lord, it is strange times. But Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art with us. Lord, we thank Thee this morning, especially for the access that we have, even to come before Thy throne. Lord, to bring our prayers and our petitions before Thee, the God who hears and answers the prayers and cries of His children. Lord, we thank Thee for the access that we have through that finished work of Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. We thank thee for the precious blood that was poured out upon Calvary's cross. And Lord, we praise thee that the message of thy word is still the same, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Lord, we pray especially this day that as we are gathered around thy word, Lord, if there is one that is not saved listening in, Lord, today that by the power of thy Holy Spirit that thou wouldst take a dealing with them, Lord, that thou wouldst speak to them, Lord, that you would draw them tenderly and lovingly unto thyself. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst come and move in power. Lord, we pray for each child of God. Lord, we pray this morning that we would feed upon thy word. Lord, that we would delight upon thy word. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst speak to us. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst come and move in our hearts and lives. Lord, we pray that there would be a word in season for each heart. Lord, we pray for those that perhaps are finding the going tough. Lord, we pray that thou would draw near unto them. Lord, that thou would bless them, encourage them. Lord, we pray for those of us perhaps who need a word of rebuke. Lord, we pray that even this morning that we would be challenged and convicted by thy word. And Lord, that you would speak to us through it. Lord, that you would draw us tenderly back to thy side. Lord, we pray especially for any that are backslidden. Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, those that are cold of heart. Lord, that this day, Lord, whatever their situation may be, Lord, that you would draw them tenderly back to thy side. Lord, that they would realize of the blessings that they are missing out on. Lord, we pray that you would come and that you would work afresh in their hearts and their lives. Oh Lord, restore unto them the joy of thy so great salvation. Lord, we pray for those this morning that are sick, that are downcast. Lord, those that are afflicted with some infirmity. Lord, some illness. Lord, whether it be of body or of mind. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst comfort them. Lord, we pray especially for those that, Lord, have even are suffering with this infection, this virus. Lord, we pray for thy people, Lord, that you would touch them, that thy hand would be upon them. Lord, we pray for those that aren't saved, Lord, those that are going through this valley. Lord, we pray that you would speak to them. Lord, that they would realize that life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. Lord, that they would realize that thou art in control of all things and that one day they must give an account to thee. Lord, we pray for our frontline staff. Lord, again, we pray especially for those that are thine. Lord, we pray that you would help them and bless them and undertake them for them in the situation that they find themselves in. Lord, many have not seen family and in weeks and months. And Lord, we pray that you would draw near unto them. Lord, that you would comfort them and help them and strengthen them. Lord, we pray that in all things that thy name would be glorified even this day. Lord, we pray now that you would shut us in with yourself. Lead us on with thee. Lord, speak to us through thy word. Lord, that we would be careful to give thee all the glory and the praise that is due thy name. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things, giving thee thanks. Amen and amen. This morning, as we come to this beautiful Psalm, Psalm 77, at first glance, with the opening vine verses, we see the words of a man in what could be rightly described as the deepest of despair. And yet we know that although going through great trial, this psalm will end well. How do we know that? Well, the first verse tells us very clearly. It opens with the prayer of a believer and contains those great words of comfort sought and found. And he gave ear unto me. The psalmist in this case is Asaph. And he is reflecting on a time past. Perhaps something which has come to his remembrance from something that happened many months or even years ago. Whatever the case, I believe that there is a word in season for some weary, struggling soul here today. I do not know what you have been going through in recent days, my friend. But I know with assurance that if you, like the psalmist, are a child of God, then he who created you in the womb knows all about your struggles. He knows your pain and your sorrows. And praise God, he is touched with your infirmities. We are living in very strange and difficult times. There are many people around us struggling and anxious. For some, it may be loneliness. For others, quite the opposite. The house is full. Perhaps you're trying to work from home, and getting a moment's peace seems like a near impossibility. Perhaps you're trying to cope with running a home, as well as homeschooling, and children who are getting more restless by the day. Perhaps you have teenagers, or you are a teenager, longing to get out with friends again. There is also anxiety about the future. What of your job if you're off at this time? When will you be back to work? Then there is the question of the recession, which so many people seem to be talking about and are expecting. What then? How will we fare? As believers, we have often seen times of distress, perhaps like the psalmist has described. Those distresses which, even perhaps in the night, have wrestled with us, perhaps have woken us, or not let us get to sleep at all. In verse 2, we see that the psalmist's pain eased not even in the night. There we read, "My sore ran in the night and ceased not." Verse 4, "Thou holdest mine eyes waking." Verse 6, "I call to remembrance my song in the night." In times past, his soul was thrilled with the song of the Lord in the darkness which surrounded him, as he lay with ease and contentment upon his bed. But now it's only a fainting memory, and it seems to be that no joy can be found. The psalmist's pain only deepens as we continue on. In verse 7 and verse 9, he asks the question, has the Lord cast him off forever? Has he left him out on the mountain wild and bare? Oh, the tragedy if our passage was to end on this note, and the psalmist's voice grows silent or pass away with the roaring of despair into the distance. Then we see at the end of the verse that little word Selah. That word which can be interpreted to mean to pause and consider his thoughts and his ways. Praise God, we see with the psalmist things in a different light as we enter verse 10. He stops and with a more rational consideration views the situation which he finds himself in. With a note of confession, he views his unbelief as infirmity, weakness, folly, or sin. Spurgeon, commenting on this verse, notes, "He may also be understood to mean, this is my appointed sorrow. I will bear it without complaint." When we perceive that our affliction is meted out by the Lord and is ordained by the portion of our cup, we become reconciled to it. And we no longer rebel against the inevitable. Why should we not be content if it be the Lord's will? Jeremiah, in the midst of his trouble, claimed in Lamentations 3, verses 22 to 24, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." And we could consider the difficult circumstances which the prophet Jeremiah found himself in when everyone seemed to be against him. Yet he is able to speak of the mercies of the Lord. And we see similar sentiment expressed in these verses. But I want to take verses 13 and verse 19 for our consideration this morning. And I want to think on the ways of the Lord. The ways of the Lord. The psalmist in verse 11 and 12 seeks to reflect on the goodness of the Lord in all his works and ways. And so we have this phrase in both verse 13 and verse 19. Thy way is in. Where, all amidst our difficulties, Can we know the way of the Lord? Well, here we have the answer to the question. I want us to consider that the way of God is in the sanctuary. The way of God is in the sanctuary. Verse 13, thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Let us notice that it is not our way that is in the sanctuary, but his way. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. We do well to note that if we know his ways, then our path will be sure and certain in his will. Notice also that he says, thy way, O God. We see the recognition of the Lord Jehovah as the one who controls all things. The psalmist continues in the following verses to show the greatness, the majesty and power of the Lord in all things, acknowledging him as supreme over all, not only the affairs of men, but even the forces of nature themselves. We recall the words of the disciples on the lake when the Lord came and calmed the storm. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Verse 13 again. Who is so great a God as our God? Oh, my friend, this morning, can you say those words with joy upon your lips? Who is so great a God as our God? His way is in the sanctuary. That is the dwelling place of God, even in the heaven where he dwells. And his ways rise above the things of this world. The place of communion between him and us, his children, where our Redeemer lives ever to make intercession for us. It is the holy place to which we can come and know more and more of our Lord and our Redeemer as we spend time in his presence, meditating upon his word, seeking his face in prayer. And there we will know his leading and guiding. And not only do we learn of him, but we learn more of ourselves. It is in the place of prayer and around his word that we see our own unworthiness and our failures. But it is also in his presence that we see his mercy, his love and his care for his children. It is here, as with the psalmist, that we meditate upon all of his work and consider all of his doings. I wonder how often we come into the sanctuary, the house of God, come into his presence in the place of prayer, as we go into our closets with hearts fixated upon our own situations and our circumstances. And perhaps we come to church or we meet together and we miss out on seeing his glory. How often do we go into the sanctuary and never see him at all? And we go out with heavy hearts and feeling our prayers are unanswered. One commentator said that there are those who come in and out of church, and more often than not, they are only sitting on the premises rather than standing on the promises of God. I wonder, when we come into the sanctuary, when we come into the presence of the Lord, are we coming with our own desires, our thoughts, or perhaps somewhere else? Or do we come seeking to know the will of the Lord? How often do we go out feeling that the Lord has cast us off? And it may be that we have been responsible for the lack of the sense of his presence. The sanctuary is that place of communion. But how often is our communing one-sided? Many of us are better talkers than listeners. Oh, we can rhyme off a whole list of things. When we come into conversation with somebody, we seem to continue talking and talking, and perhaps the other person cannot get a word in edgeways. Perhaps it is so when we come to the Lord. We rattle on, and we give him, as it were, a shopping list. We fail to seek to wait upon him. Oh, we come with our own wants, our own desires, but we stop and wait upon the Lord for his answer, for his response. Oh, that we would commune with him as we ought. In Psalm 73, if we were to turn back, we can see the struggle of Asaph in that psalm with the advance of the wicked. But he declares in Psalm 73, verses 16 and 17, if you turn back with me, please, Psalm 73, verse 16 and 17. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Oh, again, the psalmist was in turmoil because he saw the wicked advance around him. But as he spent time with the Lord, he's seen that the Lord is in control of all things. Oh, that we would seek his leading in the sanctuary. But we must also see that the sanctuary of the Lord is a place of worship. The word for sanctuary here used is more often rendered in Scripture's holiness. And it is into that holy presence that we come to meet our God. Our God is a holy and a righteous and a just God. And so we must come not resting on our own merit, but only in the work of Christ our Redeemer. As we come, it is to that place of thanksgiving and praise for his goodness and his mercy and his love towards us. We have already quoted the words of Jeremiah in Lamentations. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. We therefore come with thankful hearts, praising him for every blessing which he has lavished upon us from out of his abundant storehouse. Here we thank him with the words of our lips and the meditation of our hearts for every promise of his word, each of which, brother and sister, we can claim as our own this day. I wonder this morning as we gather together, although even as we prepared to come and to meet together in this fashion, did we stop and seek to know the presence of our God? Are we praising him with all our hearts for his blessings towards us? Have we thanked him for the strength that we have to get up for another day? The Scottish poet William Sharp penned the words of one that he came upon, a man named Seamus, an old fisherman of the islands of the West, standing still with his wide blue fisherman's hat in hand, the morning sun shining upon his mass of white hair, and his glad, still youthful eyes gazing lovingly upon the sea. Morning after morning, the old man explained, "Fair or foul weather, I have risen from my prayers, and ere I have broken my fast, I come here and remove my hat and bow my head with joy and thanksgiving before the beauty of the world." I wonder how we risen this morning and in true worship thank the Lord for the beauty, not only of the world around us, but for the beauty of his love that once shone upon us, upon our darkened soul, and continues to shine day by day. Let us come to the sanctuary in the light of his holiness and reflect upon his ways upon our lives. But we must move on. And I would like us also to see that his ways are in the sea. Verse 19. Thy ways in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. At first glance, these may seem to be unusual words, but let us take a closer look. Unlike the brightness of the sanctuary, that place that is filled with the splendour of God, this is a place of unknown for the child of God, a place of darkness, a place of unsure leading, and more so, unsure footing, as far of the child of God is concerned. The psalmist gives us the example of Moses and Aaron and the children of Israel to illuminate our thoughts. As we would consider the flight from Egypt and the journey to the promised land, we would consider the many times of uncertainty which his children faced. Problems greater than they could have ever imagined. Trials larger than life themselves. And yet, even though the footsteps of the Lord could not be seen for them to follow, even despite of their lack of faith, he led them. These times perhaps are the most difficult times in our lives. The times when the journey before us looks impossible. The mountain looks too steep. The valley too deep. The river too wide. The Jericho too well fortified. The enemy too tall and towering above us. And yet the psalmist can write with calm assurance, "Thou leadest thy people like a flock." Like a flock. Oh, if we considered for a moment the flock. Are the flock not prone to wander? Are they not prone to stray, and the shepherd has to keep drawing them back? And is that not what happened in the wilderness with the children of Israel? Oh, they wandered, they strayed. And yet the Lord gathered them back in lovingly and tenderly, and he brought them on their way. The Lord parted the Red Sea as the people heard the enemy coming behind. He made the bitter waters of Marah sweet. He sustained them through the wilderness. He provided manna for food, gave them water out of the rock. And what a beautiful picture this is of Christ the Redeemer. Oh, he makes the bitter things sweet. He is always the spring of living water to quench our thirst when we find ourselves in the burning heat of the wilderness. And we can feast upon the bread of life. And even when we eventually crossed the promised land, the Lord brought down those impenetrable walls before their eyes and defeated the giants which stood in their way. But we cannot forget their wandering in the wilderness, for their murmurings against God. Sometimes God has to take us the long way round because of our shortcomings and our failings. I wonder, my friend, this morning, are you going the long way round? Are you trying to cross the desert alone? Oh, that you would seek the Lord, even in the midst of the waves and the sea and the great waters that swell around you. As God walks in the sea, we notice that his footprints are not seen. But it does not mean, however, that he is not there. As we all know, God moves often in a mysterious way, in ways which are sent to test and to try us. God does not take pleasure in our trials, but rather he uses them to draw us to the sanctuary. But his ways are not our ways, and it is not for us to know his divine plan or purpose. We must, as believers, always remember that his ways are sure, whether in the sea or in the sanctuary. Oh, we may have learned it early in our Christian life, the difficulties that perhaps we faced as young believers, and how the Lord brought us through, and yet how often we forget and need reminded again once more, just like those children in the wilderness. Friend, can I encourage you this morning? If you're standing at the edge of the sea, at the edge of the wilderness, looking for the footsteps of God to follow, waste no more time and flee to the sanctuary. Take your eyes off those rough waters and lift them to the place of communion with your Saviour and your God. Trust in him with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding, and he shall direct thy paths. whether in the storm of life or the calm. Let us look like the psalmist and lift our eyes above our problems and turn to the sanctuary for that blessed communion with God. Let us rejoice in his love and his mercy toward us. Let us remember his benefits and his blessings which he has bestowed upon us. Let us consider our riches in Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Let us cling and return to him the promises of his word. Let us find him in the sanctuary and seek him in the sea. O friend, may the Lord grant us increasing simplicity and quietness in all that we pass through for his name's sake. But perhaps as we close this morning, there is one listening in, and you once walked well with the Lord, but you have strayed, and you're far from him, and you're out alone on the desert wild and bare, on the mountain wild and bare, and the storms are buffeting you. Oh, backslider, return this morning. Return to your first love. Return to the one who gave himself for you. He has promised that he will heal your backsliding. Oh, delay no longer. Fall on your knees and seek his face. Perhaps there is one and you're not saved, and the waves are coming in around you, and you feel like those disciples in the boat upon that sea, and it is tossed to and fro, and they fear that with the next wave the boat will be brought down into the depths, that your soul will be overwhelmed. Or will you not turn to Christ, he who can calm the storm, he who can make the waves still? Will you not trust him with your life? He gave his life for you upon Calvary's cross. There he suffered the wrath of God poured about upon him for our sinfulness. The message of the gospel is still the same today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he begave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friend, this morning, will you reject Christ and perish? Perish beneath the waves into that place called hell? Or will you believe in the only Son of God and know eternal security? Oh, that you would trust him today. Let us seek the Lord while he is yet near. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word to us once again this day. Lord, we thank thee even for the encouragement that although the waves may buffet, although the storms may beat, yet Lord, thou art in the midst of all things. Lord, that all our times are in thy hands. Lord, we pray that we would seek thee, not only in the sanctuary in the good times, but Lord, in the midst of the waves. Lord, that we would look for thee. Oh yes, Lord, you may seem far from us, but Lord, that we would find thee. And Lord, that we would know that rest which only you can give. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wouldst encourage us even for the week ahead. Lord, you know what we face. Lord, for you have been and gone before us. So Lord, we pray this day that we would commit our ways to thy hands, that we would seek thy leading and guiding. Oh Lord, that thou wouldst lead us on with thyself. Draw us closer to thee. For it's in Jesus' name we would ask these things. Amen. Amen.